All right. And counting. We know it's working if it's counting. It's got a little counter on it. So we're going to start in Psalms today. Psalms chapter 30. And I didn't get to Julie quick enough this week to get her a title in the bulletin. We're going to be talking about joy today. Joy is, as you can see on the wall there, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And as I was reading my dailies this past week, I came upon this Psalm 30. And it really spoke to me. And I thought, that's going to be something neat to share with the body. So that's where we want to go today. Let's begin with prayer today. Father, I thank you so much for this time together with the church, Lord, that you have called us together. Lord, that you knew just who would be here today. Father, that we're all here by your appointment. We made a choice to come to the house of the Lord, to worship you, to praise your name, to hear your word, Father. So, Lord, as I bring your word today, Lord, just let me be your servant, that you'll speak only, that I'll speak only those words that you want me to say, and that I'll be quiet when it's not you. Father, I thank you for the body here, for all these people who love you and love one another. And Lord, I just ask for your blessings to follow as we follow you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just begin in Psalms 30 with verse 1. It says, I will exalt you, O Lord. And in fact, this is a psalm of David. I don't know if any of you pay attention to what's at the beginning of a psalm. I try to pay attention to that. Most of the psalms are from David. David sang a lot to the Lord. He worshipped the Lord a lot. He spent a lot of time in praise to the Lord. And in Psalms 30, it's for the dedication of the temple, it says. He's dedicating the temple. And he says, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. And you know, if you think back of David's life, he spent a lot of time in war and with people seeking his life, trying to kill him. Saul and Saul's army was after David for a long time, trying to dispose of him. But he was the Lord's anointed, and Saul couldn't kill him because God had him under his protection. But he says, O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. There's probably 5 or 6 sermons here in Psalm 30, if it comes right down to it. There's so many awesome promises of God, and I guess we have to look at joy as one of God's promises. He's promised us joy, and we'll see that as we look at Scripture today. It says, sing to the Lord, you saints of His, praise His holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. If you think about that, most of us have experienced it. We've done something that we shouldn't. We know it makes the Lord angry, but you know his anger, it says, lasts only a moment. If we could just be like him. If our anger could last only a moment, wouldn't that be awesome? But his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning, or joy comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken, O Lord. When you favored me, you made my mountains stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. And I've heard a lot of people say this, you know, I don't feel like my prayers are getting through. And it is a hard place to be. And David here was going through a time like that, and it said he felt dismayed. He, So you hid your face from me, and I felt dismayed. I just, where are you, Lord? And then he says, to you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing or my mourning into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks forever. We used to sing a lot of scripture songs, and this was one of the songs psalms that was made into song that we've sang. It goes, I, you have turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me, and girded me with gladness to thee, and that my glory may sing praise unto thee, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And when you learn scriptures in song, it's easy to remember them. And I found that that's, for me, one of the only ways that I can memorize scripture is through song. And that has been one that I use a lot, because he does bring us joy. Our lives can be full of joy. And I guess that's what I've entitled the sermon today, is fullness of joy. How can we live in fullness of joy, or in joy all the time? And I want to look at a few scriptures that show us how to do that today. As you can see, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, so it's something that God expects us to live in, or he wouldn't have put it there with the fruits. It's one of our fruits that we can enjoy. The Bible promises us an enduring joy that we can experience through the ups and downs of life. Whether we're up or whether we're down, we can experience fullness of joy. I want to take you now to Psalm 16. We're going to begin with verse 7 in Psalm 16. If you want to turn there, just a couple pages over to the left there. Verse 7 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And how many times have we gone to bed thinking about a problem, and as we wake up in the morning, we have the result of it, or we have the answer to what we're looking for? God speaks to us in the night, guys. He pays attention to what we're doing, what we need, and speaks to us in the night. Recently, well, at the last election for the Gideons, I was elected to be the chaplain, and when we have our elections, a guy comes from regional and takes care of the election, and he had a scripture just for me. It was Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. And some of those things we also get in the night. We get them through the Word of God, but the Father teaches us things that we don't know, because it's stuff we need to know. And it's awesome that God takes care of that for us. So I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So as we spend time at the Father's feet, as we share our life, our relationship with him, he brings us joy. It's actually a promise here. Says, you've made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord and it hasn't been a joyous occasion? Think about that for a minute. Anytime that we're in the presence of the Father, that we come before Him with worship, with singing, with praise, it's a joyous occasion. It's awesome. It's a time of just joy and praise. But can you imagine what fullness of joy would look like in your life? What it would be like to be always joyful. And you know, as I was, my mom was one of those kind of people. She was always full of joy. Didn't matter. She was kind of like Paul. You know, I'm content whatever state I'm in. But she was one of those joyous people, and that I picked up from her. It's not hard for me to live joyfully, to walk in that. The truth is that joy is not just an emotion we feel when things are going well. That is better described as happiness. Sometimes, you know, we are happy, but happiness can be short-lived as well. We tend to mistake happiness and joy. We don't understand the difference, I guess. Happiness depends on our circumstances, but joy is totally independent of our circumstances. It doesn't matter what's going on around us with Jesus or with God as our Father. We can have joy, and I thank God for that. So, in Galatians 5:22, we see that it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy is. So it comes from God. So it's a choice we make. Just like all of the other things there, we choose to walk in them. It's a choice we make. So we can choose to be joyful. Because joy comes from God, only He, not circumstances, can give it. Because He has already chosen to make His joy available to us, it is actually something we can experience at all times. So believe it or not, joy isn't just a feeling, but it's a choice. And that's what I wanted to make known to you today, that it's not just a feeling, it's a choice. It's something real. Something that we can live with. In Philippians chapter 4, we'll go there now. This is where Paul is talking to the Philippian church. And he, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, there we're coming. In Philippians 4:4, another page. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." What does some of your other versions say? Does anybody say it any different than that? Matt, you've always got a good one. How's yours go?
"Because rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourself in Him. Again, I say, rejoice."
All right. Probably would have been good if I got my notes out when I didn't think about that yet. The definition of joy is a strong feeling of happiness, gladness, or delight. Happiness and joy are interchangeable in the dictionary. When you look at one, when you look at joy, it talks about happiness. When you look at happiness, it talks about joy. The other thing that it says is it's a state of contentment or satisfaction. And that's when I thought about Paul and this story to the Philippians, because he goes right on here when he's talking about always rejoicing. I can't imagine being in that state of always, always rejoicing. But we can be. according to Scripture, we can be. But it goes on down here, and let's go on down to 11 in this same chapter of chapter 4. Well, let's go to 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Hard place to be, isn't it? Learn to be content. Whatever state we're in, whatever circumstance we're in, learn to be content. And so contentment is joy. Satisfaction is joy. It says, I know that what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So the only way we can do it is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. To try to have joy in ourselves is, as you know, impossible. We have to have the Father to bring us fullness of joy. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. You know, as I was looking for scriptures to show us that joy is something we can live with and walk with and have continuously, there's over 200 scriptures in the Bible that talk about joy or that use the word joy or joyful or joyous. And I was just looking in my concordance here in this Bible and found a few, and then I have another study Bible that I use, and I found a few more there, and then I went and looked in Strong's, and that's when I realized, wow, there's there's hundreds of them. And it's because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit that He wants us to live in, that He talks about it so much. But in Deuteronomy chapter 16, beginning with verse 13, I'm going to read 13 through 17, actually. And this is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. This whole chapter actually is talking about several of the feasts that go on that the Lord gave to the children of Israel that they've celebrated. The first one they talked about is the Passover, then the Feast of Weeks, and now the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says, to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. And, you know, many times since I've been here at church, they have done a fall, just a time to come together to thank the Lord, a time of Thanksgiving. And we do Thanksgiving in the fall or in November. But it's possibly it came from this. The children of Israel were told to come and celebrate for 7 days. So they have a week-long celebration of what the land has produced for them. You know, for some it may have been a grape harvest. For some it might have been wheat. There's a lot of different crops that are products of the land. And so they're coming together to celebrate. It says, gather the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. Be joyful at your feast, you and your sons and daughters, your manservants and maidservants, and the Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days, celebrate the feast of the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. How many of us are joyful with our job? You know, it's the work of our hands. It's what we do. I thank the Lord that He put me in something that I really love, because it's fun to go to work every day. And I've often thanked Him for that, because it's just I can't imagine going to a job that I hated every day just because I needed to make a living. And I haven't never had to do that. I've always loved what I do. And I like working with my hands. I enjoy that. And this verse is a promise that I've got it underlined here because it's one that I've stood on for years. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. Hallelujah, that we can be joyful in the work of our hands, and in that blessing, our joy will be complete. Hallelujah. And then I want to go to Nehemiah chapter 8. It's right after Ezra, just before Esther. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. Okay, this is a time where Ezra came before the children of Israel, and he was going to read the law to them. Most of them didn't understand the law; they didn't know what it was about. So Ezra was going to read the law to them, and in verse 4 it says, Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform, so he got up above the people, kind of like I am, where they could all see him. I suppose it was thousands and thousands of people, maybe millions. I don't know how many. Do you have any idea how many people were at this congregation? There's a lot. There's a lot of people. And he was there up on a wooden platform that was built for the occasion. And beside him on his right stood a whole bunch of guys that I can't hardly pronounce their names. So if you want to read them, go ahead. And Ezra opened the book, it says. So he's reading the book of the law, or the word of God. This is the word that they had. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, as he opened the word, the people stood up. And I thought this was awesome. They stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. And they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They were reading the word, and the people rejoiced. They stood up, first of all, because they were reading the word of God. And then the Levites, a whole bunch of them guys, again, that are hard to pronounce, instructed the people in the law. So they not only read the law, but then they explained it to them, what they were saying. Because I don't know if any of you have ever listened to lawyers or tried to read what lawyers write. It's a little hard to explain. A little hard to understand, I mean. So these guys were explaining it. Here's what's going on, guys. Here's what it's saying. And it says they read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. And then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of God. They were weeping because finally they understood what the law was saying. They understood because these guys explained it to them. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known unto them. This wasn't just a couple-hour occasion, guys. They spent the day. They were standing there on their feet listening to Ezra read the word, and then listening to somebody explain it to them, what it's saying, and then they rejoice. They spent time in rejoicing in joy to the Father for the word of God. How many times have we taken time to celebrate the word of God? What would we do without the word? It would just be, you know, and there's people that don't have it. They don't have the word of God. They're thankful to get a page of it, to just learn part of God's word. So realize that joy is not something that's just temporary. It's not something that has an emotion, but it's a choice that we have. As I said, there's hundreds more scriptures I could go to, and you can look them up in your spare time. But this brings to you the meaning of what it is to have fullness of joy, to walk in the joy of the Lord without stumbling. And it's sort of, it's an awesome time that we can have with our Father. So that's all I have for today. Thank the Lord for the fruit of the Spirit, and begin to walk in all of them. But know that your joy can be full all the time, that you can walk in fullness of joy. Guys, come. If any of you have prayer needs this morning, we want to meet those needs and pray with you. So come and do that. If there's anybody who has never accepted the Lord as your Savior and you'd like to do that this morning, we have a time for that as well. If there's anybody that needs a testament, I've got one of them here that I'd like to give somebody today. I try to keep one all the time. So if anybody needs a copy of the Word of God, you'd like a copy just to put in your pocket to take with you, come up and I'd be glad to share that with you as well. So glory to God.